Well, it's the world's funkiest cartoon. We pack the right flavor. We're going deep like an engraver. Sit back and relax and enjoy the two. The family, the homies, and the whole crew. Be free like a bird and just glide as we take you on a magic carpet ride. So magical and mystical and so irresistible.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Went on vacation, but now we're back. Backstreet's back. All right. This is Knowing It's Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I have no idea when this is dropping, so I don't know if this is happening like immediately after vacation or like we're taking a break off and like,
well,
y'all didn't know that we went on vacation and we're sort of like time shifted.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. We all went on vacation and then we had an episode ready for when we were on vacation. And then the week after we came back, we didn't have an episode and I thought we did, but I was wrong. So we just took a week off. Sorry, everybody. Mm. But yeah, we're back now and talking about this nonsense. Who are you people?
Professional.
Chan forgot who he was. He went on vacation and he forgot.
I left my heart in Michigan. I did not. It's a nice-ish place, but wouldn't want to live there.
It's a great place to be from, Chan.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah, right. I've never met anyone from Michigan that wasn't an absolute degenerate.
My partner did not believe that Livonia, Michigan existed. They thought it was just
a made-up
place. So when we passed the sign, it was like, oh, okay, I guess we can acknowledge the existence of your hometown. Wait,
did you all go to my hometown? Did you spend any time in Livonia, like, Michigan at all?
As much of a flyover as we could make it, you know, in a Kia, was it a Kia? I think the rental place gave us the runaround. It was a Nissan.
There you go.
But we also passed a place called Zilwaukee. And even though I saw it on a sign, I still do not believe that exists because that just sounds fully made up.
Michigan's got a bunch of great places. You know, Hell, Michigan is a place too.
I assume that was the entire state.
How dare you? To be fair, before we get to Gina, who is aching to talk, you had Detroit style pizza.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
That's a no.
They had some at Costco and we got some and I was like, oh, I guess this is kind of good. But, you know, like, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe it was a fluke. Go to the real deal place. There's a place in Detroit that had, like, really good ratings and reviews. So, I'm like, oh, we tried it. And
which place was it? I want to know.
Oh, God. What was it? It was, like, Grandpa Betty or something like that. Grandma Bob. Grandma Bob.
Bob Detroit Pizza?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the deal. Probably great. I've never heard of anything called Grandma Bob Detroit Pizza.
I think it was either a sex dungeon or they steal people's organs and it's a front, but they just didn't like the look of you or your organs. So they actually gave you pizza.
Here's the thing. I've been told that strip clubs have great buffets. So like, if that's where I got to go. If I have to go to a sex orgy place to get good pizza, you know what? I'm willing to make that trek.
Yo, I'm looking up Grandma Bob's Pizza on 2135 Michigan Avenue in good old Detroit, Michigan. It looks phenomenal.
It was pretty good.
It looks real good. I had my doubts. I have no more doubts. This is authentic, real, great-looking Detroit-style pizza.
We tried to get one of their t-shirts, but all they had was small. We're not small people. We haven't been small people in quite some time.
I don't even have small. Don't they know what state they're in?
Apparently not.
Keep it real.
Or I guess they, because of the state they're in, they have no more of the other sizes.
You know what? It's very popular. It makes a lot of sense, actually. Gina, what's your opinion on Detroit-style pizza?
Hate it.
How dare you? Why?
No, I don't care. I like pizza, but I mean, I'm not gonna rehash the old argument, but obviously it's universally accepted that New York-style pizza is the best.
New York pizza is so overrated.
Yeah.
I mean, spoken like a guy who has the palate of a 10-year-old white dude.
I mean, thank you, first off. Second off, no, I just, it's too greasy and you have to fold it. And it's just, the cheese is, it's all overrated.
If it's too greasy, you're going to the wrong place. You don't have to fold it. It's fun to fold it because then you can eat it while you're walking, because people in New York are actually productive, unlike
you. The reason you have to fold it is so you don't get grease everywhere. What are we talking about right now?
No, you probably went to like Costco and got New York Costco pizza and you're like, oh, it's too greasy.
Look, the Red Baron knows his pizzas. Thank you. Anyway, Gina, what'd you do on your vacation?
I didn't go on vacation. Just you two lazy fucks did.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then we came back to...
Wait a minute, you did. You went to New Jersey.
Well, yeah, you go to New Jersey every third week.
What, that was not last week.
I was buying into it. I was buying into like, yeah, Gina does real work raw. Wait a minute. We had to skip a week.
That was not last week. That was June 16th.
Oh, it doesn't count as a vacation when it's the middle of June. But
if it's 2 weeks before our vacation, it doesn't count like vacation.
Exactly. You guys synced up little girls on your period together.
Oh my goodness.
We did
sync our vacations and have done that for a long time.
I'm just imagining a prepubescent girl being like, what the hell's going on here?
Nobody knows. Anyway, we're talking about a show, and I'd rather not. It's called C-Bear and Jamal. God. I'm going to say right now, I was not familiar with this show. If you would have told me that Tone Loke, star of the Ace Ventura movie and the Wild Things song,
your first pull is Ace Ventura.
Every day. I think most people my age. Funky Cold Medina, great song. Wild Thing, great song. That being said, really, first and foremost, he's known for being the actor in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
I 100% disagree with that. He's known for his movie career. I mean, music career.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Gina.
Boy,
thank you.
That vacation really did not do you any favor.
Also, I'm on his IMDb right now. He's got 62 credits as an actor. A lot of voiceover. Good for Tone Loke.
That makes sense. Here's what I found surprising. We got this as a suggestion from one of our audience members. Who was it? I have forgotten.
I don't remember.
Because they suggested a different episode. I chose this one because I looked at the synopsis.
Gina's blame.
Gina's going to lose her fucking mind.
I was getting pissed at this.
I went in. I was like, oh my God, it's a rapping teddy bear. No. And when it started, like the opening, I was like, oh, you know what? That kind of makes sense. I get it. Like the theme song's kind of a bop, and just the whole thing was like surprisingly, conceptually, surprisingly good.
It was.
Here's the thing: you've got your, you know, Tone Loke, who at the time wasn't much of an actor. He did not have 62 IMDb credits.
It looked like he had a lot. He was on an episode of Fresh Prince before this.
No, that doesn't count. If you're a rapper in the 90s,
all I'm hearing is that you're a raging sexist because you actually enjoyed this.
Wait, hold on.
So there's a lot to unpack in this episode, to be fair.
I will say, like, the concept of it, because the way they constructed it is this bear who may or may not exist in the real world. Thing happens. He makes a wisecrack about it. Thing happens. He makes a wisecrack about it. The hit rate is, you know, about what you'd expect for a show like this. But also, like, the rhythm sort of works.
That sounds like a Gina argument that I would normally make about shows when I say, like, oh, the concept is good. And to be fair, I agree. When I looked this up and I was like, oh my God, Tone Loke is like a maybe imaginary rapping bear that only like this kid can, that only like talks. It's like Calvin and Hobbes, but sassy.
Right.
Uh, And if you pitch me Calvin and Hobbes, but sassy, I'm in.
Yeah.
And then,
but you
and
don't
then,
like it because you're a racist.
And then every, nope, in this instance, sexism trumps racism.
Oh, I see. So if we watch a different episode, you would be like, okay, well, this is fine.
I mean, honestly, maybe. But the fact that this is, who was it? Kim Cole, right? Is the Kim Cole's is the voice of the little girl, right? Or no?
Maya?
Could be. Looking up right now because I haven't bothered to do my research. Kim Fields.
Kim Fields also great. Kim Cole's also great. But yeah, Kim Fields very, very distinct, high pitched voice.
Oh, so distinct that you confused her with Kim Cole's. You confused Tootie with Kim Cole's.
I mean, they both have distinct voices. I'm just bad with names. But wow. then the disrespect that was shown to this character was too much. I actually didn't take any notes because I was so enraged that I had to go to a pocket dimension in my brain.
Can I just fast forward really quick to my notes in the middle of this episode? I just have a note here that just says Gina has to be losing her shit right now.
No, I wasn't. I was in a drooled coma because that was the only way that I could watch this was by going to a different. I was in an ice cave with a penguin who told me to slide.
Oh, wow. How about that?
On one level, I am sorry that you had that experience. On another level, I 100% intended you to have that experience. On a third level, it's weird that Fight Club is your go-to place.
I'm very angry.
I feel like that's a whole other kettle of fish that we need to unpack.
Well, listen, the pilot episode of this is called Rap Van Winkle. Such a fucking great title of an episode. C-Bear takes Jamal into the future to show him the sad effects of sleeping through his education. The title ties into the lesson of the episode. I love that. So I do think you probably picked the most infuriating episode. Yeah, but that being said, I can never watch any more of this show because I want the main character and all of his boyfriends to die by being hit by a truck.
I don't disagree with you. man. I don't know.
I want a serial killer to sweep through the neighborhood that only takes out the little boys.
I did not care for this.
Ray has to walk a fine line here because he knows he's going to get called a racist. And
this is it.
And if he's not on board with it being sexist in the exact right way, he's going to get called a sexist.
It's a real tightrope act that I unfortunately have to carry myself through. Now, if this was the MR Ray podcast, there's an easy answer to what's going on here. Regrettably, it is not.
Here's the thing, though. It sounds like Gina might also have her own men's rights activist podcast. something to do with Fight Club. I don't know. His name was Robert Paulson. It's probably the name of men's rights podcast. And I think maybe you could work together. You could guest on each other's shows.
We will collab at some point in the future. That is a fact. Mm-hmm. Yeah, guaranteed. Look,
hold on.
Yes,
I'll go play a little bit of the.
Please do.
Because, honestly, I was like, Jesus Christ. Tone Loke is doing the thing. This is not gonna be great, but
well, it's the world funkiest cartoon. We back the right flavor. We're going deep like an engraver. Sit back and relax and enjoy the two. The family, the homies, and the whole crew. Be free like a bird and just glide as we take you on a magic carpet ride. So magical and mystical and so irresistible.
And yeah, look, the song didn't fill me with promise. I'm gonna say that.
I thought it slapped.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad, to be honest.
I mean, look, as far as theme songs to shows that we have seen on this show, it's not in the bottom half for sure, but it's not anything that got me out of my seat to dance.
No, it's certainly not.
No, but it's still a song by the legendary Tone Loke.
And for the record, I did put on our Patreon a poll. Do you know Tone Loc from his acting or from his music? So we hopefully will have some votes before the end of this, and people will then understand, once we explain what show we're watching, what was going on with that.
I do know that this reference is too old for anyone under the age of 40.
Too 40? Young or too old?
Too young. Like, Tone Loc was there, and then, like, he still exists, but it's such a low level that...
I still listen to regular radio, and I hear either Funky Cold Medina or...
Wild Thing
at least once a week on the radio still. That man is still collecting BMI checks.
And he got paid at least 5 cents from us all watching C-Bear and Jamal for knowing his half the podcast. So we're helping.
Are you suggesting that terrestrial radio still exists?
Can't be.
I am not familiar. I thought that the FM and AM dials had been wiped clean from the slate years ago.
Come on, Chan. How else are we going to get propaganda?
From NPR, I imagine.
Fair. For now.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we open this episode with it's called Dumbing Down. It's episode 10 of C-Bear and Jamal for you kids playing at home. Also, we did get some comments on vampires. I do want to say, people generally had a lot to say about vampires. One of the top 5 weirdest, worst things I've ever watched. Is this Robert's revenge for 3 episodes about G.I. Joe Resolute? It was compared unfavorably to Retro Andy, not Psycho Andy anymore. Compared it very unfavorably to Beast Wars, and I had to drop the truth bomb that I would rather watch the vampires than Beast Wars. He was not happy about that, but that's okay. Anyway, we open with a cold open for C-Bear and Jamal, where Maya, the brilliant child classmate of Jamal, is studying at his house, but the grandpa is in the chair in the living room snoring too loudly, so she can't study. And then we have some weird side thing with the dog and the bear, C-Bear.
I did not like that.
Fighting, and they're like very violent towards each other, and it was kind of upsetting.
Yeah, I don't care for that relationship. I mean, I didn't see the dog like beating the crap out of C-Bear, which would have made it a little better. Like, okay, you know, it's an adversarial relationship or whatever. Mm-hmm, but like, it's just the C-Bear fucking with the dog, and then like driving a remote control car into him that's throwing him around. It was one of those things where like the cartoon physics didn't really match up with the rest of the show,
right?
So
it's because the dog is also imaginary.
Well, if they had made that clear, then I'd be pulled down
for it. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. This show is set to be a slice of life, real world experience, except for the fact that Jamal has a probably not actually real talking teddy bear.
I think it's a Calvin and Hobbes situation.
Which is fine.
Yeah. But I also think it's like a Garfield situation where the dog, you know, like is mistrustful of this teddy bear who maybe occasionally does come to life.
Wait a minute. What is the Garfield situation?
Like, you know, no one understands Garfield talking except for Odie and Nermal. So
does the dog see this imaginary bear moving and talking?
I think he does, doesn't he?
I'm you know what? I of course was going to say obviously not, but now I'm questioning everything. because here's the deal. The bear is on this other lounge chair. The dog wants to sit like in the lounge chair, couch, whatever it was. And so like flings the bear off. So the bear gets sweet, sweet revenge by just hellaciously beating this dog.
I forgot that the dog did that. You know what? Yeah, no, I take it back. It's fine. They're just doing their thing and they're beating each other up.
Yeah, it's just like any animal versus animal thing from cartoons.
It is, but I much like many of those Tom and Jerry style cartoons, I felt the violence pretty much only went in one direction. Like Tom never actually hits Jerry, typically speaking, but he gets his ass beat repeatedly. And there's a point where I just feel bad for him. Yeah. Like, I do.
Yeah.
I feel bad for when the bigger animal, yes, it's picking on a smaller animal, and that's bully behavior and shouldn't do that. But at a certain point, like an itchy and scratchy cartoon, like, it just gets to the point where I want the smaller animal to leave the larger one alone.
Well, you also, that's going to be, anyone who's ever had a dog that swallowed something, that's going to be a big vet bill when they realize that there's a toy car inside that dog's gullet.
Truth.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay that bill. I don't want to pay it.
All of that being said, the fact that this is a cold open in a kid's cartoon, I like that. I do like it when I see it.
Dog torture in your cold opens?
That's not what I said, but you know what? If that's the price that must be paid, then I'm happy to have that dog paid.
I do like a
genuine comedy, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's, I don't mind a cold open either. I think it's a little weird of a cold open. Like, obviously this is episode 10. We in theory know who these characters are, even though we don't.
Yeah.
The people at home, in theory, would know by episode 10 who Maya is, what the dog and the bear's deal is, the grandfather and his story. That's fine. I will say that when we come back from the opening credits, I did enjoy, it got old real quick, but that they crossed off George Washington Elementary for Denzel Washington Elementary. And the first time I saw it, I went, that's clever. Then they cut back to it like four more times, and I'm like, it's less clever now, guys.
Well, yeah, it is a gag, but also like it is a set piece. It's the sign in front of the school and let you know that you're at the school instead of the house or whatever.
I get it's it, also, but if Abbott Elementary did that every single time with a bit, I would probably be annoyed.
But you're comparing like little kids love repetition. They love, and I mean, not even just little kids, just stupid things. Because like SNL also does repetition and people are like, yeah, look, the cheerleaders are coming out now and they're doing the exact same sketch that they always do. And this is like a way to get kids to be like, oh, yes, I know this show. I know this thing. I like when they do this thing. Like, kids don't get sick of things like that.
No, people in general. I think it even goes beyond kids. I think you're right. SNL is maybe the worst culprit of it. People remember the Chris Farley Van Down by the River sketch, right? With when David Spade can't stop laughing. What they don't remember is they did that character like 12 more times with the same beats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I read a thing about that. I was like, no, they did it like two or three times. No, it was like 10 to 12. They just beat it into the dirt because that's what they do. But hey, I mean, big money. What can I say? I'm wrong.
Big money, big money, big money. No whammies.
It's been a long time since I've been in school. Fair enough. But it seems like the teacher going around giving out the test scores to all of the children and her proclaiming everyone's grades out loud to the room and the students having a deeply vocal reaction to every single test score. I don't remember that from school.
It's a very cerebral moment. But again, like in little kids cartoons, you need to spell everything out. I mean, it feels a little cerebral just and also like maybe they were like, oh, let's just have them sitting in class because that's easier to animate than if they're like playing on the playground. But yeah, like they're spelling it out for the audience to be like, oh, hey, you know, the average grade in this class is a B. This girl's so much smarter than everyone because she got an A+.
It's one test. I mean, you know, and the fact that she says your student of the week is whoever gets the best score on this
that
one test.
That was fucked up.
Seems a little unfair.
That's
also
so fucked up.
And they're basically calling this girl out in front of everybody and be like, look how much better she is than all of you.
Well, hold on.
That'll
hold
work
on.
Out like, great in elementary school.
Structurally, I like this because it is essentially an ensemble comedy. And you get to have each of the characters introduce themselves. Like there's like a I'm going to call him Lin-Manuel Miranda because he's just like this,
he has a very specific way of speaking and he's Latino.
Yes. It turns out he's played by Paul Rodriguez. So I guess that makes Paul Rodriguez, the Lin-Manuel Miranda. But then also there's like the Hotep, who, you know, like can't find a conspiracy in a math test. That's sort of thing.
Oh, that's Kwame. He's great.
This kid was my favorite out of all the kids. He's wait, what did you call him? Because I was calling him like a Louis Farrakhan type.
A Hotep.
I saw him as Louis Farrakhan type. His name was Kwame.
Well,
and
you're
he was
white,
sort of so. our Black Panther on the show.
Right. And he was my favorite because, like, if you notice, he's sort of the only one who, I mean, you know, not that like we should be rooting for the conspiracy theorist, but he's the only one looking at anything logically. And he's the only one at any point who's like, hey, guys, we're kind of being fucked up to this girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like later yeah, look, on, he is the only one who like remains, because they present each of these kids sort of like they're going to be logical in a certain extent. Like there's the smart Latino kid who should see a kindred nerd spirit in this girl, but instead sees it as, I'm supposed to be the best. I'm a boy. Fuck that vagina. Get that slash out of here. And
I
then,
feel
like
that wasn't what he said.
It was clearly what he said word for word.
Jan, you got to read between the lines, okay. But sometimes you don't have to. That is what he said.
That's my
slash and all.
I
but like each
part.
Of these kids is presented as much smarter than they should be. Like, you know, so truly it is just pure sexism why they don't like that she's smart, because they're all smarter than they should be.
It's wild because they have a deeply upset reaction to Maya getting like an A+ on this test and being named student of the week for, I think they said like the sixth week in a row.
Yeah.
And they literally just say out loud, she's like, why are you so mad about the fact that I'm doing well on these tests in school, the place where we should be trying to do a good job on these tests? And they're like, well, we're mad because nobody's expecting a girl to do well in school.
Yeah.
I mean, at first I thought it was going to be,
Jesus.
I thought it was going to be like the concept of, oh, you're sort of like, you're sort of bringing down the curve. You're,
right.
You know,
sure.
like, oh, you're making it harder for the rest of us kind of thing. Like, oh, like let someone else win every now and then. And those are all fine, but truly it devolves into just bitches should know their place.
It's literally near as I can tell, that's the theme and message of the show.
And also, by the way, it's not redeemed at the end. Anyone listening to this podcast thinking, well, the whole lesson of this is not to be sexist. That is not, they missed the mark by infinity miles.
They should have set it up so that Javier also experienced the same kind of thing. But I feel like they, like we only have 22 minutes. We just got to, you know, cut the fat and just do this one specific thing and hope that everybody gets that it's like a universal thing. At least I'm hoping that's what they did.
No, I don't think that's what was so infuriating about it. It's not that she was smart. It's the fact that she was smart and a girl.
Yeah, and it's not, and here's the thing, it's not, it would be, again, if the message were like, oh, she's making us feel bad about ourselves because she always does so well, like, we should try and sabotage her test, like, fine, that's, it's still problematic, but then at least it's not, like, gender-based, but this actually devolves into, like, oh no, girls should not just not be the smartest one in the class, girls should be dumb. Like,
actively
it's not even
dumb.
Just like, oh, hey, next time try and get an A. Maybe Javier can win one. He, like, needs a win. It's literally like, you should be the dumbest one in the class because you're a girl.
Yes, and there are other girls in the class, too. She doesn't even have to be. It's okay. Okay, so, and Javier himself, who should be the person we're kind of basing a little morality off of as the other smart one, I believe later on literally just says, I'm supposed to be the best grade smartest kid in class because I'm a boy.
Yeah.
And it's expected of me. And I am watching this being like, what is happening? Because I just assumed when this thing started, it would be a deal where it's just like the lesson, what it should be in my mind is that, hey, you're not popular. You're getting all of these A+s. You're kind of shitty about it. What if we, instead of taking a study session, We, you know, we go to the ice cream parlor. We show you, we teach you how to be cool. And then when you come back, she gets like an A minus or a B plus, and she gets a lesson of being like, you know what? There's a balance in life you can achieve to, and maybe you don't have to get the A plus every time, and you could have a little time for your friends, something like that. But that is not the direction we go in on any level. They are just actively pieces of shit to her because she is smart and a girl.
Also, the thing is, it doesn't, the episode veers into a direction of not just, like, at first it can be like, okay, well, these boys are actually jealous of her. That's the lesson. The lesson is that they're jealous. But then, like, midway through the episode, it's like, also, you need to dress like a slut.
You dumb slash.
Like, what are you doing dressing like a regular little girl? Put on these hooker heels because you're supposed to be a receptacle for my cum. Again, word for word what they said in this children's cartoon.
She's of varying age, clearly. So I think it is okay for them to be doing that. She's practically an old maid. What are they, in the fourth grade? Yeah, way too old.
I'll tell you the line I knew we were going sideways, because in my head I'm still like, okay, well, obviously we're not going in this direction. We're going to spin it intelligently. And there was a line where Jamal turns to Maya where she's like, dude, I'm smart. I do well in school. That's why we're here. I'm supposed to do my best in school. And his line, the one that I was just like, red flag danger zone. He says to her, Maya, you have to understand where we're coming from. Fuck you, Jamal. That's where I'm coming from.
And again, not like none of the they cannot possibly wrap up all of the problematic stuff. Like in the end, it's kind of like, hey, you should want girls to be smart. And it's like, okay, fine. Fuck. Let girls be smart. I don't care. But there's never like a discussion of like, hey, also maybe don't police how women dress and don't try and convince your friend to be a slut. And like at some point she's like going to drop out of school. It is just so wildly inappropriate and problematic. And at the end, like the lesson is kind of like, hey, don't hate on girls or be smart. It's not like, hey, you guys should go kill yourselves because you're going to grow up to be like weird fucking incels, or you're going to have like seven kids with seven women because you can't properly connect with a woman because you see her as a receptacle for your cum.
I thought, because the entire time Tone Loke, the Sea Bear, is the voice of reason. He doesn't exist in the real world, which, I mean, that's a whole other metaphor we could get into. But it feels like that he is like set up so that the kids do bad things, but we understand that they're doing bad things because Tone Loke is saying, well, that's dumb. You shouldn't be doing that. What I liked about the structure of it is that he was always commenting and sort of like I said, there's a rhythm to it that sort of kept the pace going. But the downside is that it really didn't feel like he had that much moral weight there, because they were fucking going headlong into this thing. And all he could do was like, it seemed like a bad idea, but you do you.
He's as forceful as Willy Wonka being like, no, wait, no, don't stop. I mean, that's the thing, is that you're right. They are being upsettingly terrible to this girl for absolutely the wrong reasons, and it's the wrong message. And then meanwhile, they'll cut to Sea Bear every once in a while. I just wrote at this point in the story, I was like, what does he actually do? Nothing. He's just back there, and he's just like, that's not how I do it. And then we go right back to them being terrible. And I'm just like, what? He's not actively even really talking to anyone. He's talking to us, the viewers, while he's getting steamrolled by the kids.
Also, again, like he's his only real point is like, hey, man, you should want girls to be smart. And it's like, great. Good point. Can you also maybe point out that he has so many other wildly problematic takes on this girl? Right. He's like, yeah, girls should want to be popular. They shouldn't want to have jobs. They shouldn't want to do this. Girls should want to dress slutty so that they can be receptacles for boys come. And the teddy bear's like, hey, man. Maybe just like let them be smart. It's like, no, you need to listen. If I was that bear and I had sentience,
hold on, everybody stop now and picture Gina as a teddy bear with the voice of Tone Loc.
Okay, yeah, a minute.
Gina's talking now. Just imagine Tone Loc.
Yeah, I'm a Tone Loc teddy bear. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing what this kid is doing. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the sharpest butcher knife from the kitchen one night. I'm going into that kid's room. I'm slitting his throat. I'm going through that neighborhood, and I'm killing all of the other boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm putting that little girl on her journey of being like, a CSI investigative lead on a team investigating crimes.
Don't forget that Kim sells her out too.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Everyone here sucks. Internalized misogyny and all that. Kim also, I think, voiced by
Margaret Cho.
Yeah, Margaret Cho, which is hilarious.
Oh, it's pretty great. Yeah, honestly. Yeah, I feel like Kim was put into a, like she was brought into it and had nothing to do with it. She was just like, hey, you want to play baseball? And they made the point of like, well, because she's fucking normal and average, we're going to play with her because this is how you should be. This is the max that you could aspire to be.
Also, if I was Kim, I would sneak into those boys' rooms at night with the sharpest butcher knife. I would be like, oh, okay, you're hanging out with me because I'm of only average intelligence. Cool. You guys are doing everything you can to destroy every little girl's confidence in this classroom. And you're one day going to be a scourge on humanity. So I'm just going to kill you now.
Yeah. They literally sit her down and say, we are intentionally excluding you from playtime, Maya, because you're smart. You will not have any friends anymore. Every one of us will shun you if you keep being smart.
This is some Scarlet and doing well in shit, school. Man. They're not even soft pedaling it. They're just like, land out here. You will be a pariah. You will die alone and unloved. Unless you start getting lower grades.
Yeah.
Absolute madness.
And dressing like a hoe at the tender age of
Please, can we not? Seven? This is one of those instances where you should use the hard R because it is more racist to say hoe than it is to say whore.
I was wondering where we were going with that, and I'm still not sure about it.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
From the depths of Earth comes the barbaric and humanoid tendril, devastating everything in his path.
After that overgrown octopus!
Inhumanoids!
The evil that lies within us!
Help me, Earth! Grab my line! Where's Grenoff? There he is! Nasty, nasty creatures,
tendril will crush you.
Tendril and other figures sold separately from Hasbro.
Inhumanoids!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
So here's the deal. Jamal and C-Bear are at odds. Jamal's like, no, that's how you treat bitches. And C-Bear's like, eh, kind of not, but I see your point.
Yeah, really.
What am I going to do about it?
I'm a made-up bear.
Yeah, he's
and
like...
then he goes on to sing Wild Thing.
He's like, have you ever heard of the Joe Rogan podcast? Do you want to go on it?
You got Gina, for the record, he didn't vote for this.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit, you guys. Welcome to the Take No Responsibility Hour, starring the podcastosphere. Dear effing Lord. Anyway, here's the deal. I did get a little jolt of joy when they do a bit where... they're trying to learn manners, but it's the only book they could get in their library because it's a poor community is the manners of the Victorian 1800s. And like for a brief moment, I thought this show maybe had a chance, even though I was pretty well convinced it wouldn't.
Because the follow-up is with the budget cuts, it's all I can find. I'm like, yeah. Okay, cool. We're like,
yeah, we're solid premise based in reality. I'm on board for this.
Yeah.
And so they do like drop a hanky, you know, and they're doing all this Victorian stuff. So she's like translating it to a modern age where she starts to drop her books. So the other guys are like, oh, I'll help you with those books. And then she's got two guys carrying her books and she's popular. And I'm like, okay, maybe if we take a hard pivot here and go in this direction, we don't. We end this very quickly and take it back to Terrible Town. Because they're like, don't answer any questions in class. Great. Javier wins the student of the week by getting an A. Maya got a D on this same project intentionally. And for some reason, when Javier, guys, I tell me you saw this. When Javier gets the A, is named student of the week, gets the test scores, the other children go berserk. Jeez. And they run over and they start petting him that like an animal.
Exactly what I have in my notes in all caps. I wrote, they're petting Javier. What the fuck?
Why are they petting him like a dog?
Super weird.
Doing the best on the test. Gina, tell me you saw this.
What did I see?
Gina's already checked out.
It's not even close to 9 o'clock. I don't know what's happening with Gina. So Javier gets a free banana split. And this is what I wrote. Gina must be losing her mind right now. But I actually got it wrong. Gina shut down.
Also, we need to talk about Jamal's eating of his ice cream. What in God's name is he doing with that cone? It is so weird. And he's just, it's like, he looks like a fucking alien trying to learn how to eat with this weird hole in his face. He's like,
very upsetting.
Drops it on the ground. And
Dagwood Bumstead from the Blondie comics eating a sandwich was less upsetting than him eating a banana split.
I kind of pattern my eating style after Dagwood.
That's from a problem, Blondie. Chan. Those sandwiches look delicious. Don't get me wrong. Man,
it looked amazing. They are what we had before Hayao Miyazaki came along with his food and anime.
You know what? That's a great point. Yeah. Look, here's the deal. I also want to talk about the body horror that we just get plunged into for reasons I don't fully understand. In one of the top five most horrifying moments in Knowing Is Half the Podcast history, Jamal has a moment where his feet come bursting through the fronts and backs of his shoes, and we close in to apparently a bunch of corns and deformities of his feet.
We're
told, well, you're supposed to like file those off.
I had to go deeper into my ice cave during this.
Yeah. Scene. Yeah. That is not great.
And it's not set up in any way. They're like Ren and Stimpy sets you up for, you're about to see some horror. You're about to see some terrible
shit. Also, they're like a dog and a cat. So thinking about it, and you already know that they're gross, but they're like presenting this kid as like a cute little kid. And then they're like, by the way, he has the corns of like an 80-year-old mutant man.
Yeah, an 80-year-old monster. Like, not a human. Like, and then they sort of dwell on it for like way too long. And there was no prep for that. This is a show that, generally speaking, stayed in the real world, except for this moment when he explodes his shoes like the Incredible Hulk. Very upsetting.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate everything about it.
And how did they decide that Maya would bone her next test over by doing an English test as if she's British? Follow this logic chasm for me, because it goes to show it's an English test of English words and phrases, but she's going to perform the test as if she's from jolly old England using English words on this English test.
Quote,
and she gets an F.
Mr. Loke, I say, by Jove, it worked for Princess Di. What?
This is insanity.
What?
Absolute insanity. A Princess Di ref.
Look, you only need 3 beats of this gag, and this did not have to be one of them. You should have brainstormed a little harder.
Yeah, and this is what I'm like, she gets an F, and I'm like, what? I wrote, what am I missing here? All she has to do is be average like everyone else. Why is she taking it into the toilet? And like, they're cheering her on for it. Like, if she got B's once in a while, it feels like that's good enough. I don't know why she said, and also I wrote here, oh, Maya's new and improved. She takes abuse.
Yeah, she eats the boys' shit. So now they tolerate her.
Yeah, you must learn to laugh at things you don't think are funny.
Holy shit, you guys. This is a dark episode of television. Yeah.
If they, because obviously they're sort of like exaggerating how stupid she has to be popular. But I don't think they followed up with it in any way. They didn't like sort of highlight what is necessarily bad about that and how society pushes that.
It's very clumsy. It's clumsy. And that's the other thing is, why exactly did she get an F by performing an English test like a British person who also speaks English very well?
What, she fucking put a U into flavor and like, well, flunk that person.
F, apparently. No, what is with this teacher? She was still writing it. Like, if she had written it in Spanish, I'd see how she would fail the English test. I don't see how doing it in different English hits the F zone.
Or like, it's not even like it's a dialect thing. It's still the fucking English language. She's still using the same words,
the same letters, the same words. And you can't, you know, like even if you wrote governor, like they do in all those old timey books, G-U-V apostrophe N-E-R, you're not getting an F.
Also, are they suggesting that having or speaking in that way is stupid? And that's how Lady Di became, Princess Di became a princess, is by talking British? Boy. Stupid. I didn't see it that way.
Like, clearly the teacher is holding her to a higher standard, which I don't love.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see it any other way than Chan just said it, though.
I mean, everyone is terrible to this girl. I hope she kills them all.
Yeah.
So okay, let's go to the library, where Maya is hiding in the library. Why? Because she misses the library, and he's like, "We got to sneak you out. If people see you in the library, they'll think you're smart." And then they'll hate you. So as a favor to you, I'm going to sneak you out of this library. But at the same time, he was on the computer perving on pictures of Carmen Sandiego. Can anyone make sense of this for me? I'm very confused. I get confused a lot, but they make a lot of choices on this show that I just frankly do not understand.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
And this takes us to act three, where Maya has now decided she's going to quit school to move to Paris to be a fashion model and starts making Cindy Crawford references. And then maybe the strangest thing happens, because Jamal reveals they have a big test in their Latin class tomorrow. What inner city school is teaching Latin? Ever?
I mean,
probably not even
know.
In Rome. Roman times did they do that?
You never know.
Also, you skipped over Kim, like selling her out. We get a longer segment of her being like, "I see what you're doing there," and fuck you, you're horning out on my game.
Oh my god, everything about it. So yeah, they basically, and now they come to the conclusion that quitting school is actually a great idea. You'll be way popular if you just quit school at the age of 9. What has happened to this? Like, and where is Seabear? Seabear, get us out of this. No, will not save us.
At this point, I would not blame Seabear for peacing out and going to a different house. I mean, truly, I would be like, okay, look. I was your cool imaginary bear, but you're the most toxic little kid I've ever met in my life. So I'm going to go to a different place with a different kid. Maybe I'm going to go to the girl's house and hang out with her. At least I know she's smart.
He really should have bailed because the way Jamal was going at her with that camera, I'm like, that's border on child pornography. And we didn't see all of the shoots, so it might well have gone into full-on kiddie porn.
I mean, it was done in a house and not a bicycle shop, so, you know.
Oh, is that the only place that these things happen?
Yeah. How do we... We're getting towards the end of this episode, thank God. And how does C-Bear flip Jamal's way of thinking? Of course, with a rap about morality.
I mean, here's the thing. You have Tone Loc. He's in a cartoon as a rapping bear. If you don't have that rapping bear rap every single goddamn episode, you have failed as a producer, as a creator, as on every level. So
like, what are we doing? And
I don't,
and thank you.
I don't hate that.
And Chan just posted in our chat a picture.
I hate
if
it.
You haven't seen this episode, these feet are the
I
grossest
hate it
thing.
So much.
I'm very upset. I'm very upset. I'll be sharing this with the people. But I am very,
what people?
Very upset.
Don't share with any people.
No, this is getting shared far and wide. I'm going to share this picture with no context and let people guess what the show is. How about that? Holy crap. Well, Jamal is flipped by this rapping teddy bear's morality play.
Also, then, again, like, he doesn't bring up a lot. He basically just says, like, hey, the world will be more interesting if you let girls also be smart. He says nothing about all of the other shit.
He lets a lot of it go, quite
and
honestly.
And as the final fuck you, that takes away Maya's agency. She doesn't get to say, like, this is ridiculous. I want to be smart. I'm getting rid of this bullshit. They have to wait for Jamal to be like, oh, you know what? I've decided it's okay for you to be smart. She's like, oh, thank goodness. Thank you for allowing me, master.
Yeah, they don't buy back any of the terrible crap that happens before in the end. I gotta wonder if they were like writing the scripts and any execs were like, oh, wow, this is really problematic. And they're like, oh, don't worry. Don't worry. We'll buy it back at the end with a song. And if the exec was like, all right, I guess. Okay. And then like when they saw it, they were like, hey, you said you were going to buy it back. And they were like, oh, we did. He said, all right, it's fine. If you want to be smart now, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything about this is upsetting. And I do like Kwame as a character, the Louis Farrakhan. Woke. He's woke as hell. And
again,
I appreciate
yeah,
him.
The only and the he, only somewhat redeemable. The only one I'll say that if this bear goes on a butcher knife killing spree, he should just maim this kid. He shouldn't hit an artery. He should, like, you know, slash him in the upper arm to give him a reminder not to be sexist, but not actually kill him. The rest he can kill, especially this red haired fuck.
He's growing up to be a super misogynist. I guarantee you that.
Man, it was, yeah, he is the only person through the episode being like, y'all are incorrect. You know, we have to raise these people up, not tear them down.
I don't know who this red-haired kid is.
I keep thinking you're talking about me, and I'm taking it personally.
But I will say this stupid, idiotic, red-haired, freckle-faced kid, this is the type of kid that, like, he grows up.
He has a beard and lives in Mission Hills. Yeah.
Yeah. Like once every month or so, the cops are called to his trailer. His girlfriend / baby mama answers the trailer and she's got like a couple black eyes. And the cops are like, everything okay here, ma'am? And she's like, yeah, everything's fine. This red-haired kid grows up to beat his various girlfriends in his trailer.
Yeah, that checks out.
I see no faults with your logic. Depressingly. And then we end this nonsense with some sort of crack on tofu.
Yeah, that was that
tofu
felt,
taking strays out here.
That felt extra like, you know, when we got to the end, I was like, I mean, at least it's over, I guess. And at least she can just fucking go back to being smart. Hopefully she'll turn into just a raging fucking feminist in college and recall this childhood and be like, oh, if I knew then what I know now, I would have slit those boys' throats in their night. And then I was like, all right, good. All right. Maybe she'll grow up to be okay. And she'll think back about this. And then they're like, yeah, also like, fuck tofu, you pussies. And I was like, what is happening in this cartoon? Hey,
since it's okay, you're smart now. Let's go out for tofu instead of ice cream. Just kidding. That's for F words.
The 90s were a wild time.
It's just insane. Absolute, absolute monstrous. And then we have a lesson of the day at the end from Seabear that I'd be honest, I don't remember anything about. I just wrote here that there was one and I was ready to move on with my life.
It was just a recap that was basically like, you know, you should let girls be smart. I'm like, if you didn't make it clear that entire episode, then you have fucking failed and you should not even bother with the lesson at the end because...
Yeah. If we didn't walk away with the message clear in our heads, that's on you, Seabear.
It's not like you weren't wielding a hammer the entire time to be super, super obvious. So you're not going to win any points for like, oh, we're being subtle about this. We just want to let you all know.
Yeah, I was quite honestly visibly angry at the end of this episode of television.
Just at the end? You were visibly angry at the end because you didn't like that the girl got to be smart again.
It really upset me that they let her go back to school. I mean, you know, how dare you?
All of the bad things about this aside, like I felt like the bones of this were strong like you could do something like it could be decent.
Yeah. You felt it wasn't sexist enough.
I felt like they really needed to go harder. They didn't wield a big enough hammer. it felt like Tone Loc was trying to do something to give back. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I don't hate that. Like Bill Cosby, I know, but also
like Bill Cosby was super important. And unfortunately then later, super important.
Yeah. But like the Cosby, the Cosby kids,
sure. Was it's a big deal.
Solid attempt and success at doing that sort of thing. And I feel like that's what Tone Loc was trying to do. And like execution wise, not the greatest, but I feel like the rest of this might be better.
There's pieces of what could be an acceptable show in here. The problem is they're so brainless and tone deaf and just don't have a handle on what they're doing at any point during this entire show. That, you know, you have inner city kids, you know, and there's, you know, references to like what we have to do because we don't have a lot of money and our schools aren't well funded. And like, there's things you could work with there that they sort of glaze upon with the Victorian 1800s manners guide and stuff. Like there's hope, but it's so incompetently put together and so tonally ridiculously wrong that they never get even close to where they need to go. And I would say right now, I was more upset watching this than most anything we've seen before because they couldn't even stick the landing and they took it way too far in one direction. And I don't even think they really got it back to the center point again, as opposed to even taking it as far as they needed to in the other direction. Just a travesty of television that I'm going to hopefully forget soon when I go into my Gina-like vegetative state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For my part, I succeeded.
Great job of picking the episode, Jen. Great job. You gave us something to make us mad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your goal.
You're
welcome. And you did it.
Vegetative.
Yeah. Gina, what are your final thoughts on this monstrosity?
Everyone involved should have their throat slit in the night by a cartoon bear.
Come on now. Tone Loc's throat is a national treasure.
That's fair.
Yeah. Chan, good job. And I'm mad at you. That's my takeaway.
That's all I ever asked for.
I do want to let the people know. We are the next thing on our G.I. Joe bucket is G.I. Joe, the first live action movie. G.I. Joe, I think Rise of Cobra. And we're going to watch it. We are trying to put together, hopefully in the next few weeks, we have to get our schedules together, figure this out. We're going to do a watch party on someday coming up in the next week or two.
Don't promise things we can't deliver.
No, we're going to do it one way or the other. Even if one of us isn't there, even if it's just me and the patrons drinking Labatt Blue, I don't know. But like, we're going to do something and all the patrons are invited. Patreon.com/knowing is half the podcast. If you're on there, I will have alerts. I will try to give you as much warning as I can. I don't know what day of the week it's going to be, what time. It's probably going to be in the evening, potentially people on the East Coast. It might be a little late. But Trump, come join with us, and we're going to try to watch G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra together, because we did this for G.I. Joe the movie, and I thought it went very well. And I think doing it again for this movie while we sort of talk and have a good time and read chat would make for a very good piece of, not piece of content, it will be fun to do, and you're all invited to join us for it if we can work out all our schedules, because Gina's apparently enlisted in the military on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
Something about wanting to help deport. I didn't get it all, but she was apparently brought in to Los Angeles. Gina, what exactly is it you're doing?
She said that she was ice cold, and I don't know what that was a reference to. But
I thought she was talking about Funky Medina, but apparently it was something else.
I was talking about Funky Cold Medina. Also, do you guys have any balaclavas I could borrow? Because all of mine are dirty. I've been wearing them so much.
Unfortunately, I do not own a balaclava.
No, she said baklava.
Baklava? It's a delicious... Oh, man. I could go for a baklava right about now.
I know that you would.
I had a donut for dinner.
Healthy.
Set life, baby. But anyway, we're going to try to work this out. Chan is like got other podcasts, and Gina, you know, has job and responsibility. So, you know, I don't know if you can read the quotation marks as I said it, but I did that physically each time. We are going to bring this to you soon. Be ready. Otherwise, find us on patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Check out our Facebook group of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Thank you. Give us 5-star reviews. I haven't checked lately. I could go for another 5-star review for Knowing Is Half the Podcast. So I will read it on the air. If you give us one, I will appreciate, even if you refresh your old one, I'll read it anyway. I don't care. We could go for another one. Is there anything else that y'all would like to say or plug before we end this show?
Kill sexists.
Gina, you know what? Kill sexists. Let's end on that.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.